Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Benuni over there. Hello, Ben.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Good. Everybody, welcome to the show. Today is the first recap ever of In the City. In the City. I wish they would have just called it The City. I know they can't because there was another show called The City, but The Valley, The City. Keep it consistent, guys, okay, for my sake. But in any case, In the City started, and we will be talking about it. We're doing our cabaret, Forbidden Housewives, as all the characters we love on Bravo, in New York City, June 3rd and 5th. Those shows are sold out. There's three shows on those nights. They're sold out, but you guys should live stream it. There are live stream tickets available for that. You can buy tickets up until showtime, and you can stream them for a week afterwards. There will be a big chat room in there where you guys can talk to each other, make fun of us, do whatever you want. That's going to be really fun. So go get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com or our link in bio on Instagram. And if you want this recap on video or bonus episodes or ad-free listening, or you want our weekly newsletter, which is free, you can sign up for that for free over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And today, In the City, Season 1, Episode 1, titled The City.
Whoa, it's finally here. We're in the city after years and years of us requesting more time in the city with the Summer House people. We have received it, sort of, because it's not happening during Summer House, as with a whole different group of people. But, you know, it's kind of what we want. And I loved it. I'm going to say this right now. I loved it. I thought it was a great premiere. I was on board. I liked the dynamics. I liked the way it looked. I liked the vibe. I liked the buttons. I liked the zipper. I liked the pocket.
Everything. I like the down. Buttons. I like the pleading. Yeah, I liked it too. I mean, I think I'm going to like it. You know, yeah, I think
good.
It's felt you know, good. For me, it's just a lot of Kyle and Amanda bullshit right after Summer House, which I mean, I can only imagine how they feel because, geez, it's a lot of terrible couple. And it is worrying me a little bit just to start that it's so The Valley, because this is like, okay, we're growing up now. So now we move and we all force each other to have babies, you know, and we see how that's working out on The Valley. And I just watched the screener for this week's The Valley. And let me just say, great. It's not working out great for anybody. So I'm hoping that this show doesn't fall into just a pit of misery like that show has. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great first episode.
I thought it was great. And I also love that it is a basically The Valley for Summer House, but these people all feel like they are doing things with their lives. And I appreciate that. So that they're all
true,
you know, they're all like, they have careers. I mean, not to say that Luke wanting ambition isn't a career, but they have ambitions. They have
fashion. They're all dressed really well. They're all like going to nice places that we would want to go to and not places with floor tiles on the wall. You know, I mean, it's definitely a step for sure.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, we're going to hate probably many of them the way we hate people on The Valley. But it just feels like they live in a different world. Whereas you go to The Valley and it's like, oh, Jesse Lally, former model who now does real estate, and Danny Zuko, who appeared on the OC and now does voices for zombie video games and is a terrible person. And here's someone else who tried in entertainment and now is kind of doing this thing instead.
Or Janet. Like a personal assistant for Sheena who has a ball pit in her house.
Yeah. Jason is a lawyer, though. We'll give him credit there. And it's not to say that there's any more merit for having some sort of professionalism versus non. Everyone's allowed to have non-traditional careers like we do. But it's just very funny watching it on In the City.
It's not career shaming. It's glamour. It's like lack of glamour shaming. You know what I mean? Because this one is something you want to watch. This is like, oh, wow, these are people who are doing well. Like, you want to dress like them and go to the places they're going to. None of that is happening on The Valley.
It just sort of seems at first blush like these are people that may just have a little bit more substance to them than, I don't know, like people in The Valley. Like, I'm sorry, Michelle Lally, perhaps, would be a good example. Michelle Lally. Sorry to be threatening with these comparisons. Anyway, the point is not threatening. The point is talk about In the City. I thought it was really good. And I really liked what was going on here.
Yeah, so we've just left Summer House. So Amanda and Kyle are driving home, and it's like really sad. And they're looking at street signs and talking about how much their relationship sucks. And
suddenly, out of nowhere, the font has changed on our television. We have transitioned into a new show. We have a serif font, ladies and gentlemen. In the summer, we have sans serif, but in the fall, the serif arrives. We're in the sophisticated world of a serif fonted show.
Trixie Monocle's here, which is nice. I love when she makes an appearance. Trixie Monocle has appeared back on Bravo. I think she's out of rehab and writing music again for the shows, because there was one show this week that had a song that goes something like this. Oh, it should be illegal to be this blessed. It should be illegal to be this blessed. And I was like, yes, my girl is back in action. It should be illegal to be this blessed. Yes, Trixie. Mm. This one is take a breath and close my eyes. All the lows and all the highs.
Wow. Yeah. Exciting.
It is.
I love Trixie.
I love hearing her back on TV.
She did a lot of personal inventory in her rehab, and she's come out. Her music's a little, you know, it doesn't have the same edge. You know, it's like with Alanis. She was best when she was angry at someone, but we still appreciate her for what she represents. So Trixie, welcome back.
Yeah. I mean, I do miss Trixie's girl era where every song was about being a girl. Like, I like being a girl. I'm a girl on the street, a girl on a crosswalk. I'm a girl who sees cars in the street and says, stop. Because I'm a girl.
Or being a boss. I'm a boss. I'm a boss. I'm a girl who's a boss. Walking down the sidewalk, all I see are people at loss. Because here comes a boss. And it's me.
B-O-S-S. I'm a boss. I'm a boss, boss, boss. I'm a girl who's a boss. Love her. Just really great talented. Work. So now we're in New York City. We see the Statue of Liberty. Who's like, does my armpit smell? Anybody? Anybody?
Very working girl coded. Very working girl coded. And honestly, that's the sort of coding that works for me. Okay. More like working for Ben girl, because I was like, just please, please play Let the River Run. That's all I need right now. And then the show, I'm hooked for the next 10 years. Just get that Carly Simon going. This is a whole segment of our audience who is too young to know what the hell I'm talking about, which is a shame.
Let the river run. There you go. There it is for you, kids. So Amanda is riding solo into Midtown, and she's like, I can't imagine my life without Kyle, but no matter how badly I want to fix this relationship, I'm not sure I can. Something has to change. I need time by myself. I'm going to a hotel.
Now she'll be able to imagine life without Kyle, which is life without hearing coming out of AirPods.
Hey, man, do you want to hear this crossfade? No, Kyle!
Now Kyle's driving solo, and he's fidgeting around, and she pulls up to a hotel, and he pulls up to his apartment alone, and it's like they're going separate ways. And, of course, it was just like a really sad moment on Summer House, but they had to segue out of that. So now that they've like arrived at where they're sleeping tonight, then all of a sudden the music is going from like a mournful divorce music to New York, New York, New York. Gossip Girl was here once. New York, New York. It's fun.
And it's January 2026, 4 months later. Summer House's Kyle and Amanda have broken up. And we see headlines popping up on screen about the breakup, and then we see a clip of Watch What Happens Live with Amanda and Sierra being the guests, and Andy's asking, who do you think is gonna start dating first between you and Kyle? And she's like, me. And Sierra's like, yes.
And then now it's March 26th, and Kyle is on there, and Andy's like, Kyle, what's your reaction to the Amanda and Wes rumors? And Kyle's like, I don't think there's any merit to it. And now we go to another episode where Wes was famously a guest. Andy's like, what's your reaction to the rumors about you and Amanda? I mean, that's like a friend. And like, it's like, I'm a friend. I'm a boy. I'm a little boy.
Then we see on screen headline after headline about rumors being confirmed that Wes is in fact sticking his gummy bear into Amanda. And so we see sirens in the city, noise and all this stuff. And now it's April 9th, 2026. And we've shot a new scene for this so we can get the aftermath of what happened. You know, they're trying to do like a Scandoval type thing where it's like, oh, show it and then rewind. And we see Kyle in his apartment. And we know he's upset because he is vigorously scrubbing a cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
Very depressed, yeah. Depression scrub coated.
He had just sliced a can of Loverboy open, so he's really out of his mind. He's like, I got one of those cool Japanese knives. So
I don't want to mix the Loverboy cutting board up with the steak cutting board and get food poisoning. Monk fruit poisoning.
So Amanda not enters with the dog Ryder. He's like, oh, well, still got that key of yours, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a hug. You're eating, you look skinny, I'm worried about you.
She's like, I'm worried about me too.
So Amanda, Chiron, creative director of her own misery, perhaps, and they sit on the sofa. I'm like, what is she the creative director of?
I don't know. I've never heard that. I guess I've heard it in
the bikini
Loverboy terms. I guess she's the Loverboy, I guess, right? She's the creative director of Loverboy.
And her
didn't they only line. Come up with that logo? Well, I guess you do other things. Didn't they steal that logo? Anyway, the point is, she's a creative director.
Deep thoughts on Watch What Crappens.
I know. Like, wait a minute. What do you do? I guess they do a lot of stuff like Instagram posts and stuff like that. Like, our new flavor is coming out. The new flavor is called Amanda. Okay, well, that's not an actual flavor name. Okay.
So Kyle's like, well, I joined a new gym and I pulled my back doing deadlifts, so I want to be there for you through all this, but I also want to clear a few things up, which is that if you thought my back was in good shape, it's not. Aren't you glad I opened up with this anecdote about the gym?
No, Kyle, I don't care about your deadlifts.
Well, you should, because I'm a man.
What every woman wants to hear when you've left them and they want you to be doing better. And you're like, well, started working out more. So that's good.
Wow.
It's actually a free gym. All I had to do is pierce my ear and get a Corvette. So I'm really excited.
She's like, well, and he says, well, you know, over the summer, it looks like you were just done with me, which it did. It did look like that over the summer because we just watched that show. And Amanda's yeah. like, well, that's so frustrating to me because I like gave our relationship everything I had. Did either of you? I can't with this conference. I'm sorry. I'm already bitter starting off this because we just finished 17 or 18 episodes of Summer House. So I've heard it. Okay. I'm sick of both of you. So she's like, you know, the thought of you not existing in my life was so impossible for me to wrap my head around. And it was so hard to call it quits. But then, you know, it got so messy and I was afraid that when we did just end it, we'd be out of each other's lives forever. And like, I couldn't handle that, Kyle. I couldn't handle that. I haven't had to pay rent in 3 years, which we find out later.
Well,
I wouldn't leave either. Well, that's an expensive apartment. Shit. If I didn't have to pay a mortgage for 3 years, I would stay in a relationship with a DJ who stayed out all night. Fuck yeah.
By the way, jumping ahead, I do think it's a little fucked up that Kyle charged her back rent. You guys were like married. It's like a joint expense. I'm sorry. I don't think that's fair. Anyway, Kyle's like, there are points during summer and fall where you weren't just like 1 foot out the door. It looked like you were fully out the door. Yeah, Kyle. It was also, it's been a few years. What clued you into the fact that she was out the door? Was it when she said, I want to live in a hotel?
Yeah,
but I think I kind of got the sense you were over me a little bit.
Yeah, but he's basically saying like this whole summer we shot Summer House. I didn't realize you were already broken up with me in your head, which apparently you were. Because now, you know, of course, the rumors are that she was banging West that whole time. And so she's now raising her voice, crying. And she's like, I was to an extent, Kyle. I was done. I was tired. I had nothing left in me to fight, but I still gave it everything I had. He's like, well, can you say that, like, through Thanksgiving, was there an emotional affair with West?
Nothing was happening.
I heard things.
Stop doing your Goodfellas on me, okay? I was so committed to you the whole fucking time. And for you to even question my faithfulness in any capacity fucking hurts.
Well, Amanda, of course he's gonna question. You know, you're in a scandal right now. Of course she's gonna question your faithfulness.
you were lying about who you were hooking up with for a long, like you were lying to everybody for a long time. So it's not crazy to think that you were lying. And since you're the one to shame somebody else about this later, you are still technically married to Kyle. And I would not even hold that against you, but you're holding it against Danielle in about 5 minutes. So you're a hypocrite.
Wow.
And a liar. So it's not crazy. And also her reaction to this, I know that her reaction is partly frustration because she's kind of like the number one villain in the world right now, or in this world right now. But your reaction's not helping. Like, I would never. Why would you think that? You're acting guilty. Guilty.
Mm-hmm. Think, well, I had a one night stand. Because she says, by the way, I wouldn't step out or cheat when I've been cheating on. I've been cheated on by you. He's like, well, mine was a one night stand. He's like, Kyle, you met with someone when we were married. And he goes, says who? And she goes, there's a video. He goes, okay.
Okay.
Checkmate.
I think that was the best part of the whole thing to me. I don't know why that made me laugh. There's a video.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Has he seen the video? Does he know there's video? Or does he just know that she knows? She says that there's a video. Because we still haven't seen this video. I just want to say, yeah. Not to say that I doubt that Kyle's probably made out with hundreds of people,
and
you know, at his DJ gigs, you know, whatever. Anyway, she's like, well, my point is I would never do that. And he's like, oh, okay, you're not a bad person, but you were reckless, if I'm being honest. I'm going to say if I'm being honest a lot. But I am still trying to be a good friend to you through all this because I worry about your mental health, okay?
That's not your responsibility, but I do appreciate that. So now he's crying. He's like, everything I do for you from here on out is because I care about you. Not because I'm trying to rekindle things. It's because I care. God knows I don't want to rekindle. God know how much ass I'm getting out there on the road. Man, I just did a DJ gig in Lodi. Oh my God. I had a threesome. Talk about a load in the eye, right? Kyle, can you focus again?
I was deadlifting ass. That's how I hurt my back. Okay. If I'm going to be honest.
Did a show on Manhasset? More like this man has it.
Man, I still got has it. Yes.
I went up to Scarsdale, did a great DJ gig there. I was scarred from too much sex. I don't know. I ran out of puns, okay? But I did a gig in Scarsdale. That's the point. Right off of 84.
Went bonkers and yonkers.
Point Jervis? More like Point Jizz Us. Great gig West up there.
West splooge on your chester. That's where I was doing a gig this weekend.
Had a great gig in West Orange, New Jersey. More like, West Orange, you jealous of my career?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Why can't you do the same fucking way, Kyle? We still love each other because there was a version of us that did fall in love for a fucking reason.
Okay, you need to, you're the one in the wrong, okay? You need to flip this attitude, okay? Because in the earlier episodes we've watched, we've always been on your side because you've been in the right for those episodes. But you've just been caught fucking West for God knows how long. So you need to stop the yelling for now, okay? So you don't have the high ground at the moment.
You're going to turn this city right around if you don't stop yelling. We're going home. Kyle is like, but that makes
Holland me so- Taylor says, on my dick tunnel. That's where I'm going to be going after this.
Amanda says, you know, we did fall in love with there was a version of us that we fell in love with for a reason. And he's like, and that's what makes me upset. Because someone else gets that version of you that I fell in love with.
Now, they didn't spend any time on this line. I thought this was a very interesting line to Kyle. It's something you hear in breakups. I usually hear it from my girlfriends who are like, I trained this man. Like, I'm the one. He's like, complained that I was a nag. He complained that I was this, that I was bossing him around, whatever. But I turned him into like a decent person. Then he goes and cheats on me. And now this girlfriend has the well-trained version that I trained. You know, so at first it sounded kind of like that sentiment
to me. The inverse.
But I think what he means is Amanda's seen all over the place going out and partying with West. I mean, she's having the best time. She's going to bars. She's drunk. She's kind of living the life like Kyle wants from her, because Kyle's only happy with Amanda when she's drunk and they're out. We see them partying. That's when they've been happy on Summer House. And he hates that he's still living that lifestyle and she's not. And she's like, I just want to be home and watch Netflix, which I think is valid, by the way. But he doesn't want that lifestyle. And I think what he's saying here is, I see you living the lifestyle I've wanted from you all this time, but you're doing it with somebody else. Like, why is it okay for you to go live that lifestyle with West, but with me you demand I'm home at a certain time watching Netflix?
Right. Well, it's like even more sort of like directly, the girl that he fell in love with, like that personality, whatever she was presenting as then, that went away, and then now all of a sudden it comes back, and he's like this is the car that I bought. and my car's had like transmission issues all these years, and now I sell it and now the car's working again, and that's not fair because I really liked that car. Not to make
just reverse lemon to me.
Yeah, it's like the lemon unlemoned itself, but it's a pretty profound thing, sort of. So basically, well, what I'm saying is that Amanda is a jalopy. No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, it's just like, I understand what you say. It is a total inverse of the example you said about your girlfriends and what we've heard before of like, I improved this person. And now everyone gets a better version. He's like, no. I lost the good version. I want the good version back. Anyway, speaking of going back, we're going to rewind to September. So now we're back in September 2025. And, we're at Lindsay's apartment.
Financial district.
And her big ass apartment and her baby mom.
Is that what you call it? FIDI? I didn't know she lived in the financial district. Who lives that far downtown? I'm surprised.
CEOs and founders. Sorry, Danielle.
So Gemma's there. Gemma's a big star. Gemma has a lot of time on this episode, and she is actually very expressive. She's
pretty cute. Yeah, she is a cute little baby. Oh my gosh. Well, there are no ugly babies. You know, I feel that.
That's not true. There are ugly babies.
It's not true. There are some damn ugly babies. There really are some ugly babies. But I do believe that you should never call a baby ugly. To its face.
To its face. Yeah. Behind its back all the time. Because it can't get mad at you. It can't be like, you've been saying this behind my back. Say it to my face. Like, sorry. If you could say more than goo goo gaga, sure, you have a point. But
exactly. Yeah, when you're old enough to pay taxes, you're old enough to judge me for calling you ugly. I feel like the only people that you can say, like, that baby's really ugly, I feel like the only people you should really ever say that to is, like, the parents of the baby. Because they're the ones who can do something about it.
Yeah. There should be a podcast about talking shit about babies. Be like, oh my God, I met this baby today. So stupid.
Coming this fall.
It's true. It's Cheerio on the floor. Like, hello, that Cheerio is for you. Okay. Catch us after the break.
Yeah. Just rate babies. I'm in. Yeah. Let's go recap baby babies. Rate. Yes. Right. Hell yes.
We call it look instead of look who's talking. Look who's being stupid. It's just about babies.
Look who's not talking yet.
Yeah. Look who's not talking yet.
Wow. Way for your baby still that not might to not be able to speak.
That might not land well.
You know what? Neither do babies. Okay, here we planes. Go.
Why are the babies flying the planes?
They will be soon, the way this country's going. Non-union babies. Your next pilot. Okay, so Lindsay is talking to the baby, and she's like, since becoming a mom, life has become a chaos, and there's no doubt that Gemma is my daughter. Like, the way I give a death stare, Gemma gives a death stare. And we see that Gemma does give Lindsay the death stare.
Baby's like, I am activated, Wawa.
So,
how many peas have you crushed for me lately? How many planes have you landed in the hangar?
So Lindsay's saying, like,
my friends are all entering a new chapter of adulthood, but I'm just wondering if I'm ever going to have sex again. It's been 9 months, okay? I would have had sex right when I got the clear from my doctor, but then I got dumped, okay? Because my vagina used to shoot rainbows and butterflies and sandwiches all the time.
So I didn't know. Has she ever said this clearly, that she just got dumped? I didn't know that guy dumped her.
She hasn't. I don't think so. I should say, in the media that I have seen, I have not seen her say it. Maybe she said it in some interviews. But
yeah, but we see flashbacks of her being sexy. And she says that she got broken up with and it's been a while and she couldn't have gotten through this year without her support system. She's got her nanny, Liz, and all of her girlfriends. And then her nanny comes in and she's so cute. I mean, this is how you get along with babies. This is a good nanny because she comes in and she's like, hello.
I know.
Gemma, Gemma, oh my God.
I love Liz. I love Liz. She knows what she's doing.
She does. It was so cute. This is how adults want to be greeted. You know, people like take this away from you when you become an adult. I remember the first time I went to a cousin's house, their mom used to always be like, Ronnie, hi, Ronnie. And the first time I was old enough that I went over and she's like, oh, hi, Ronnie. And I was like crushed. I was like, really? I don't get any like, whoa, Ronnie's here. It's just like, wow, it's Ronnie. I never wanted to go to that fucking cousin's house again. And you know, I will never forget Sue.
Oh, wow. Wow. Sue, you're on blasts for losing enthusiasm. Looks like, Ronnie, you want the version of Sue you fell in love with.
Yeah. What happened to that Sue? How about the Sue? Well, when you become seven and suddenly you're just Ronnie again?
Says, suddenly Sue-son. Okay, so... Lindsay's talking about how like she's relying on her support system, which includes Liz, who we love, icon Liz, and also her friends. And speaking of friends, we see a flashback as an example of her friends. So Lindsay, and she meets up with Yvonne at like one of these like toddler places. And Yvonne is like, so is this brunch? I thought we were doing something fun. I mean, this is fun, but like actually like the way I'm going to trail off is supposed to imply it's actually not fun at all. And I'm lying to your face.
Well, Yvonne's been my best friend for 13 years, and when my ex and I broke up, I went right to her house, and she was, like, milking my tits while drinking tequila.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she, like, totally forgot her breast pump at home, and so they are, like, milking her boobs and calling my husband, telling him it's not a good time to come home whatsoever.
So now the women are sitting on the floor in a circle, and we meet Georgina, Lindsay's other best friend and dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about Nick. Yvonne's like, Nick and I went out the other night, the wine was flowing. And Georgina's like, one of the best parts about being a mom is that you still get to parent like while hungover. It's amazing. I'm crazy, Georgina. I'm Georgina, but I also still have a lot of fun. My life is a disaster. My ex left me when I was 32 weeks pregnant. I'm alone with a toddler, a dog, a broken ankle. Don't even ask, in the cold of New York City. So I went a little crazy. I'm surprised I'm not on Snapped.
They didn't say how she went crazy, but I feel like that's going to be something special for us, a little gift for us on a later episode.
Like what by the way, when she went crazy, you mean?
Yeah, we don't know what she did when she went crazy.
Oh yeah, I need to know, and I need to know like how she broke her ankle too. Like, does that have something to do with it?
She kicked in a window at the Capitol. She was an insurrectionist, wasn't she?
I went so crazy, I started tap dancing on a subway grate. Next thing you know, broken ankle, toddler on my shoulder, another one in my arms, another one in my belly. At least I don't have pores. You can't see my pores. So,
I mean, I wouldn't say it was crazy what I did. I mean, did I bum rush the stage at Les Mis and kick Jean Valjean in the nuts? And I said, you want to talk about Les Miserables? How about being dropped when you're 32 weeks pregnant? But I mean, I thought that was fun for the audience personally. Anyway, they fell off the stage into a tuba. And next thing you know, broken ankle.
Yeah. So here's what we know so far. Lindsay was with a guy who dumped her, right after she had a baby, I guess?
Yep.
And then Georgina had a guy who left her at 32 weeks pregnant. We find out later that this Yvonne's husband is completely disinterested and checked out and doesn't even know when she's out of town for a week. The men are not looking great on this show. I'm just going to say, it looks like we're going to be carrying over the Valley tradition of terrible men. If you're looking to this show for like any hope in love and long-term relationships, you're in the wrong place.
I mean, the good news for Yvonne is that like the breakup is trending sooner and sooner. So maybe she'll break up with her man before there's even a baby situation. That would be nice. Also, I just want to say RIP to Lindsay and Yvonne, because we all know on a reality show, when someone says, so-and-so has been my best friend for 13 years, that is the beginning of the end of the friendship. And by season 2, they will hate each other. So It's been lovely seeing you guys as great friends, and we wish you the best.
It's in over.
Your future feud. Yeah.
We see past Yvonne in this episode, Danielle. And also, what happened to Gabby? I mean, I'm assuming she's still friends with Clancy, but why don't we ever see Gabby anywhere?
I was thinking that. Why wasn't Gabby at Soft Bar? Honestly, why wasn't Mia at Soft Bar? Maya, sorry. Why wasn't Maya at Soft Bar? Like,
she's hopefully she's at home making my cookies that I never got still.
Where was Jacqueline the Fit Model?
I'm never going to let that go.
I know. But we did determine that they were stolen off of your porch, right?
I think they probably were, because she actually did show me a mailing label. She's like, I swear to you, I'm trying to send you these cookies. And then we did have a lot of mail theft in my neighborhood where, like, I was getting cards that were from my meemaw that were open. They were, like, taking the money out of my birthday card. Because, yes, I still was getting money from my – I was still getting $10 every year from my grandma, from my meemaw. So, yeah, I think someone ate them and stole them. So that's really not her fault.
It's
probably
not.
If they were ever sent.
You know what? I think we both deserve to have a cookie today. I think that's what we've learned.
God, I would love a fucking cookie. You know, I'm going to see about getting my waddle done this afternoon, and I'm so nervous about it. And the reason I have to get my waddle done, other than the fact that I'm old, look, here's my waddle.
But why are you nervous?
I talk about it all the time. Because it's terrifying. They're going to cut my face. You know, it's just scary. And also, the reason I have a waddle is because I lost a lot of weight. I've lost almost 200 pounds over the past 4 years. So I've lost a lot of weight, which is great, but it's left me just like hanging. So now I have like hanging stuff everywhere. So anyway, I'm going to get my waddle done. And I'm so nervous that all I've been thinking about all day is cookies. And I'm like, but then you're going to gain the weight and then you won't need the waddle done. But then that'll save me some money, but it'll also save me from getting my face cut off. It's a whole conundrum.
Don't be nervous about getting your waddle done. I mean, Tamara gets her face done every 6 weeks. Okay. Like, this is just like nothing.
Easy. I need to think about it like that, because the housewives really do. I mean, Kyle comes back with two faces a year now. She's had two faces this year on Beverly Hills, and they all look great. Like, how do you take the pain? How do you take it?
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. You'll have a few days of soreness, I'm sure.
I'm looking at Gabby's Instagram now. God, she's gorgeous. I love Gabby, and I miss Gabby, and I want her back. Her first one is her first picture is dressed as Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is funny. And then she's at a game of some kind. She's watching tennis. Oh yeah, she loves tennis. And then the rest of them are her looking gorgeous. She has one of her and Lindsay though from. Let me see. Okay, so Lindsay's still friends with her, but that's from over a year ago. 62 weeks. So I
kind of feel like Gabby, once she left, they were like, okay, well, nice knowing you, Gabby. But I think I saw her in the background of something actually like yesterday, which is why I was thinking of her. So I know she still circulates around, but she was also, I was a little surprised that we didn't see more Gabby.
Yeah, I want to know. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to this show, guys. Waddle and Gabby aside, let's come back. So now we see... Lindsay says she wants to show Gemma a strong female role model, and that does not require relying on a man, because clearly we can't.
So now she's going to go to Brooklyn Fair, or as it's spelled on its sign, Brooklyn, B-apostrophe-K-L-Y-N Fair, because their sign is probably too
Brooklyn
small.
Brooklyn Fair.
But in true Manhattan fashion, it's too far to go to Brooklyn, so they go to the place is actually in Greenwich Village. It's like, this is imported from the faraway land of Brooklyn. So she and Gemma and Amanda are strolling through this grocery store, and they're looking at all these different snacks. And Amanda's like, oh my God, does Gemma like these? My dogs love these snacks. I'm sorry, Amanda says that. Amanda apparently has been feeding it's blended beef. I thought it was blended beets. I thought she was serving
beef. No, she's giving that to her dogs, which is very fancy for a dog. Blended beef in a bag. And like, you suck the beef out. And she's like, does Gemma like those? And she's like, blended beef in a bag. She's like, yeah. And she's like, no.
Who wants to give their baby blended beef? Blended beef. It's like when a Brady Bunch family gets into a big fight. Blended beef. Think about it, and then you'll say,
no.
Gemma gives this side eye, like, don't give me that blended beef. Or
she really does.
Blended beef.
Gemma knows what was just said, and she's like, get this trick out of here.
And by the way, Amanda feeds the dog the beef. I'm like, I hope you pay for that. Okay. Oh, it was a flashback. Never mind. I'm a disaster with recounting this scene. You would think I hadn't watched this, but I actually have watched it. Sorry, I don't have all the details. I can't believe
you don't remember exactly what happened in this grocery store scene.
Well, I really thought it was beets. I thought it was beets, and I couldn't believe that Amanda was feeding beets to her dog. I didn't know that was a thing that dogs like. And then I thought when they showed her feeding the dog, it was happening in the grocery store, but that did not happen. It was a flashback.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Can you believe my brain's rotting?
It's almost Friday, kind of, not really. So Amanda's like, so I haven't seen you since we left Summer House. She's like, oh my God, that weekend was like so crazy. And Amanda tells her she stayed at a hotel for like 2 nights, which fixed nothing, you know. So Gemma is also looking at Amanda with the side eye like, God, loser.
I know, Gemma's got it all right. Gemma has all the great reads.
She really does. She's like, glad I could skip time with the fun nanny to come hang out with sad sack Amanda over here. Hey, Amanda, why don't you tell her who you've been fucking? Check this one.
I was this close to being able to put the square thing in the square hole. I swear I had it almost figured out. And now mom says I got to come to the stupid Brooklyn Fair grocery store to watch this bitch feed blended beef to her dog.
Thanks a lot.
So Amanda's like, yeah, I just didn't want to fall into the old routine of going back to business. Nothing gets discussed. And we're going to couples counseling now. And I'm just back at the apartment. But she made a really weird comment in therapy. She was like, oh, so like you guys hate each other.
I was like, oh my God, has she been listening to us?
Was your therapist Gemma?
Was your therapist anyone who has basic observation skills? Because yes, that's correct. Amanda's like,
yeah, but I want some fruit. Okay, also after that, Kyle and I talked in the park and he said like maybe I should get my own place.
And so now we see them on a park bench.
That's Lindsay, but you met Amanda. I met Amanda. So yeah, the shrink was like, I've been doing that today too. I don't know why.
Their voices are a little bit the same. When Amanda's really in like sad sack mode, her voice, when I try to do her voice, I sometimes teeter over into Lindsay Berg.
Yeah. Lindsay
world.
So yeah, the therapist said that she should get her own place. And so we see a flashback to a park bench with Amanda and Kyle arguing. And Amanda's like, I feel stupid for wanting you to change when you've shown no hope. And he's like, show no hope. I can't continue to be in our home around you with the way that it's been going. If you're going to keep acting like this, I got to go. We can't be in the same place. And she's like, so your solution is for me to move out? Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that the lover boy office as well? Like, isn't that where they have the lover boy offices as well? I was actually kind of surprised, too, that it's just automatically Kyle gets to keep the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it's because they have the lover boy offices next door or whatever. But
it's still a little weird to be like, I need some time away, so I'm going to start living in a hotel. But now I'm going to. Now, actually, I decided I don't want to be here anymore, so you have to leave the house. I think it's a little weird. I don't know. I also am surprised she's saying, like, your solution for me is to move out. I'm like, weren't you the one asking for space? I don't know. I don't understand sometimes. So
yeah, I just don't understand the divvying of the property, you know? Because if you own the apartment, which I don't know if they do, but that would be, like, something that you divvy in a marriage, but maybe this is just a rental, and so she can't afford the... Because that's got to be an expensive as fuck apartment. Oh my God. So
maybe that's why he asked for back rent. It was almost like but if it's a back rent, then he would pay her. If he was taking over the place, then he should pay her.
No, not if she hasn't paid for 3 years.
No, but I'm saying theoretically, like you're buying someone out and be like, okay, this will be my space and you got to go to your place. But I also do contend that I don't think that she should pay rent. I really don't. I think if you're married, it's like a joint. Because they're married. It's like, it should be like the money, his money should be her money, et cetera. Like you may have different bank accounts.
She said that they don't do it that way. And they keep all their, she said on Summer House that they keep all their finances separate. So she doesn't know anything about his fine. Cause they were asking her about Loverboy and how this affects her. And she's like, I don't care. Like our finances are separate. That wouldn't affect me at all. So she's keeping all of her money and all of her influencing money. She makes money, Amanda. Like we joke about her lack of work, but she makes a ton of money doing deals and stuff. So I don't know. I get it. I get it that like you're a couple and that like, if he's going to pay, he's going to pay. But if someone like hates you and is like, fuck you constantly, wouldn't you be like, well, you don't even pay rent? Because this goes back to this whole, you don't do anything. Like, you don't contribute anything. So who knows? Who knows what leads to this? Oh my God.
I think it's still like, it's not a roommate situation. I don't know. I think it's like a little weird, especially because she actually professed that she wanted to live in New Jersey. So I don't think she even wanted to live there in the first place. I don't know. I mean, people have different financial arrangements. I get that. It's not a hill I care too much about dying on. I just think it's weird. I think it's like, you guys are a couple and like ultimately may have different accounts, may have different sources of income. You may keep your own, you may keep it separate or whatever, but it's still sort of like your joint thing. So I don't know. You know what? Who knows? God bless.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I think it's weird too. I just don't know how it works or how it was separated. But so anyway, they're arguing on the bench and then she's telling Lindsay about this. And so Lindsay's like, so what did you say when he mentioned you getting your own place? And she's like, well, even Sierra had suggested me and him spending time apart, which is kind of funny because Sierra set this whole thing in motion. Really?
Well, she just was the person to finally say what everyone else is probably thinking, right? And so Lindsay's
over
like,
and over to both of them. Like she really hammered it into Amanda. Then look what happened. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Well, you guys haven't been partners for a very long time. Like you guys are just like now in couples therapy tackling the resentment that Kyle has built up for years, but it might be too late.
And Amanda looks at her like, what? Like too late?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And then we segue over to Central Park where we see Alexi and Andrea. We are holding hands because he's a model and she's a model too. And they're being models together, walking through Central Park. And Andrea's like, I remember the first time we came here together, probably when we first started dating. And I remember falling to my knees and going, Lexi, oh God, Lexi.
It's like, yeah, in the beginning, right? He's like, oh, call me romantic, whatever you want. But you know when you meet the one. And Lexi is the real deal. She's priceless, Lexi.
You know,
she's a princess, I should say, not priceless. But, you know, princesses are priceless as well.
I always dreamed of my Prince Charming, and we see a video sequence. We see her, they get getting married in a castle, and it's kind of funny because a lot of times on these shows, it's like Rula and her husband, Brian. She's like, he's my Prince Charming. You're like, this guy's not Prince Charming. This is a fair case. I think like Andrea, strong case for the Prince Charming thing because he is charming and he is hot. They got married in a castle. He's Italian, sexy accent. It's a fair case. Fair case for the Prince Charming here.
And she's like, yeah, I could spend every second of my day with Andrea. I used to dream about getting married at Disney World in the Princess Castle. And then when I got married to Andrea, it was in a real castle, but in Italy. And I was like, where's the Matterhorn? And they were like, this isn't Disneyland. And I was like, but where's Epcot Center? And they're like, it's not Disney World either. And I was like, where am I? Where am I? But then they explained to me what Italy was.
And then we see their wedding, their photos, and how everyone was there. And then Andrea's like, oh, baby Gemma was there. Everyone was there. Even baby Gemma. But Gemma was in Lindsay's belly at the time. But that was just a rumor at the time. But then Danielle caught the bouquet. So you never know. She might be next. Alexi. And then we go to a tennis court. And there's Danielle.
It's married people. Andrea acts like married people do when they get married. And they're like, oh, who's next to get married? Like, they're so desperate to pull you into their cult. You know, it's like when someone gets a heroin addiction. And they're like, just try it. Like, you know, miserable company. I don't know what it is. But they just want to drag you in there. The second they do it, they're like, when are you getting married? When are you having a baby? Come on. Water's warm.
So then we go over to this tennis court where Danielle is playing tennis with her man, Owen, spelled E-O-I-N. And Danielle, founder of, what was the name of her app? It was something like,
I don't know, like Closet Girl
Dawn,
or something.
Dawn.
I think it was Dawn.
D-O-N-N-E, Dawn.
Yeah. Oh, you've got a good memory.
Don't name an app after a
It's funny. All you have
Orange
to do
County
is
husband.
All you really had to do is remove one N for it to be a future prediction.
Yeah, worked out really well. So, Danielle is like, tennis is expensive, so to get lessons for free from this guy over here, he's like, what do you mean for free? Like, oh my God. Owen is amazing at tennis, and he's also my boyfriend, and we met 9 years ago, and then life happened, aka fame and other relationships, and I guess you could say he slid back into my DMs. Yeah, I slid back into your DMs. Well, I guess you could say you slid back, so I said it. No, it's an expression. You don't actually have to say. If I say, I guess you could say I slid back into your DMs, you don't have to then say I slid back into DMs, but you said you wanted me to say it.
But I did it. I slid it. What do you want me to do? You want me to slide in or slide out? Which way do you want me to go?
I'm so happy. I love this man.
She's like, I'm trying tennis. You have to try my things too. He goes, well, we can make a couple of shitty apps if you want. She's like, oh yeah, okay. Well, guess what? It's time to start making babies because I'm 37 and I'd love to have a baby by 38. Come on. Whoa, slow down. You've been dating this man a second.
But that being said, she is pregnant. So he's like, well, if you want to do it, I'd love to do it with you. And I want to do it with you. And she's like, well, I definitely want to be engaged before that. So I don't know. My dream engagement. We're on the LIRR. We're about to pull up to the Hamptons. The train has a emergency. We're stopped. We're stuck there. He gets down on one knee. His one knee is in a piece of gum. The other foot is in a puddle of beer. And he says, Danielle, will you marry me?
God, I would hope that happens to me. Please.
Then he slips a pie chart on my finger. So she's like, oh God, I would love to be able to share this with Lindsay, but like last time I spoke with Lindsay, it was like probably like 4 months ago. I mean, it was weird because like we've known each other so long. I mean, God, I took a glass to the chest for her.
And we see the flashback of Sierra
throwing the red wine glass at Danielle's chest. And she's like, I'm like, what did I do? Oh gee, I don't know, Danielle. Maybe watch the last couple of seasons you were on. Yeah. What did you do? Do you have a TV?
Now let's go to Tribeca, up and coming Tribeca. And we see this guy, Kenny, and he jaywalks. He gets honked at, as he should. And this is Kyle's friend / venture capitalist. Guys, the people that are making America great, the venture capitalists, don't we love to see what they do to all of our favorite brands? Finally, a real hero on this show.
Automatically fall in love with Kenny, guys. He seems like a real great guy. So he sits down with Kyle, and Kyle tells us, Kenny and I met in the most stereotypical New York way. What would you
gay sex clubs? Oh, wait.
I was going to say, I think it's different for our cultures.
We had a lot of mutual friends. We've known each other about each other for like 10 years, or we've known each other for 10 years. And he's like the epitome of, well, and then Kenny goes, I'm a work hard, play hard guy. That's how we really relate, because we both have businesses and we like to go out and drink and enjoy the city.
And the producer's like, why are you smirking, Kenny? And he's like, oh, I mean, Kyle can be a bit of a lush. Okay, so it's hard to tame that. But, you know, he does have a big personality. So I love Kyle so much. First thing I say about him on TV is that he's a fucking lush. But you gotta love him. That drunk idiot. Yeah. So Kenny says, I never thought I'd be the black guy from Michigan who ended up at the investment bank on Wall Street, but here I am, you know, and I'm 15 years later, I start believing I do belong. I left Wall Street to become a venture capitalist investor and ended up investing in Loverboy. Ouch. Am I right? Whoops. Okay. So they can't all be winners. Okay, let's start off there.
So you're saying you're not a good venture capitalist, right? So then Kenny is like, well, so what's going on with your business? And Kyle's like, well, I had to lay off 5 people. Kenny's like, okay, well, at a certain point, dude, just like punt it, right? He's like, if I could have sold it, I would have. So Kyle says that like at one point he was promising a 25x return on everyone's investments. But now he basically is like, I'm on the verge of going out of business. I don't know how he's going to sell his company if he keeps on going on TV saying how bad it is. But
he is the worst at PR for his company. Oh, my gosh. He's like, Loverboy sucks. Everybody hates it. Anybody want to buy it? Loverboy's for sale.
I guess I'll figure it out.
It's like a little girl on the side of the road selling lemonade with a sign that just says, piss, 5 cents. Anybody? Any takers?
Kyle was just on a podcast this week and he was talking about, I guess, when all this scandal broke out that people started buying Loverboy to support him. Or like when he had the episode with Carl, he's like, I have no money. I'm dressed as an old man. I got no money. That a lot of people bought Loverboy. So I think he's kind of leaning in now into like, keep it alive. Buy Loverboy. It's a nonprofit. Get a tax write-off.
Buy Loverboy out of pity. So, Kyle's like, you know, Kenny's like, you know, it's a hard place. Let's talk through it. Let's talk through the debt. I love to talk about debt. And Kyle says, well, I appreciate your patience. You know, I need to communicate better, both in my business and in my marriage. The summer's been a perfect storm. He's like, what? Oh God. Now what's going on with you and Amanda? And he's like, oh geez. Normally, whatever, no matter what, we come together at the end. You know, we leave together at the end of the summer, but she just went to a hotel and I went home solo. And Kenny tells us, yeah, you know, Amanda's a, or he tells Kyle that Amanda's a great person, but you know, she's never really been able to meet you where you're at, which is, you know, at the corner of alcohol and ism. And, you know, I think you really deserve somebody who can just get shit faced with you day in and day out. You know, I mean, you had to go to Friendsgiving solo.
Yeah. And like, that doesn't go unnoticed. Okay. When you show up and you've only got one container of sweet potatoes with you. I mean, that's just sad. And I just feel like 3 years ago, you gave me a similar update as far as your marriage. And like, you have to ask yourself, if the people that you both aren't met today, would you still choose to be with each other? Don't do, oh, I already talked about the version stuff. Don't bring up the versions. Because you know what? Whitney wakes up every day with a zest for life. She's got great energy. I love Whitney.
When he said this, I immediately said, let me guess. She's a model that's younger than you and you've been with her for 5 minutes. You gotta love guys like this. This is so guys like this. Oh, you need someone like mine. She's always so happy. What a zest for life. Yeah, because you haven't sucked it out of her yet. Let's see by the time you're done with her. Let's see in year three how this is going, buddy.
Who actually even says that someone has a zest for life? Are we like in 1952? Well, she has a real zest for life.
Okay, sounds like, oh wow, I found the perfect woman, always happy, never argues with me, and has a zest for life.
Yeah. So here comes Whitney. And of course, she is gorgeous, tall, gorgeous lady with a dog. And she's like, hello, I'm from Minnesota. And I'm just a sucker for love. I love love. Doesn't matter. She says she's from Minnesota. So it's in her. It'll come out. Just, I'm meant to be a mom and a wife and a hot dish maker. Okay. That's why I did The Bachelor. Of course, it was Minnesota Bachelor, so I just wound up dating a bunch of pine trees, but it's okay.
Dated a lot of cheese. I dated a lot of cheese curds that season.
God. That's okay. Luke for governor or whatever he's running for. I really, by the way, yes on Luke, no on Spencer Pratt. Just want to say that. I really wanted to find love, so I was one of 8 of the original 30 girls that lasted, and it was scary moving across the country for someone who, for the first time, but I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe Kenny was my person, or at least pretty wealthy.
Wow, what a coincidence. An ex-bachelor contestant shows up to move in with her boyfriend the same week they start shooting a TV show. This is crazy. I'm sure it's love, Whitney. I'm sure it's love, Whit. Apparently, I recapped her season on the podcast I used to do, Rose Pricks, about The Bachelor, but I don't remember Whitney at all. So I don't know that bodes well, but you know, I also don't remember things. So who knows? So Kenny's like, yeah, she's happy and positive, but my fear is not working out or me hurting her in some kind of a way. Cause you know, there, whenever there's that initial spark or that like, oh, I found my person. And Kyle goes, yeah, instant boner. He goes, yeah. But for me, like, is she the one? It's tricky.
He's like, not instant boner.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, okay, sure. So now we go to a place that was named after a lovely lady who had a place called Edna's Edibles. They go to a bar called The Garrett. And it's a speakeasy that is behind a Five Guys in the West Village. And Kenny's like, Garrett is a New York institution. It's a speakeasy that also sells really delicious brownies and cookies. And it requires you to go through a burger shop just to get there. And I love it. And I'm not just saying that because my friend owns it.
And the password is Tootie Blair.
Apparently, George Clooney used to come in here all the time.
So we see that this is owned by Gavin. And this is
Garrett. Gavin. Sorry.
Gavin.
Garrett is the owned owner. By Gavin.
Yes. And Nick, Yvonne's husband. So these are two guys on the show. And
Wait. Two guys in nightlife? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yvonne and Nick, that is a forever couple right there, knowing that she's married to a guy who's in nightlife.
This is going to totally work, guys. I assumed that he was like a metal worker in Brooklyn or something from the previews. Doesn't it look like? Why did I think that? It looks like they're like in a Brooklyn loft or like an antique store or something. I didn't know.
He worked in advertising. He sort of had the look of someone who's like pitching, you know, some sort of like non-exciting advertising thing, like a marketing plan for some B2B thing, like information systems. That way, a tuna canning company knows how to reach their customers better. I don't know. Like he just.
Well, so that job that you just described, I have as much interest for that as Nick shows in Yvonne, basically, if that explains it to anybody.
She's like the tuna canning distribution marketing firm to him.
So Nick's like, yeah, our friend group is made of a lot of people in different situations, which is amazing. It's amazing. And Yvonne's like, yeah, we met Andre and Lexi through Lindsay and realized our lives are like very similar to theirs. We got married within a few months of each other. Like we're talking about starting families. They're going to probably actually do it. Nick is going to pretend he has a cold and disappear someplace for months at a time, not tell me where he's going. So... It's going great for both, but similar couples is what I'm saying.
So, yes. So they're all gathering. This is their St. Elmo's fire. It's their cheers. It's their whatever bar people go to in pop culture. And it's their Central Perk.
Soft bar.
With booze. Soft bar. Central Perk.
Central Soft.
So, everyone's gathering at the Garrett, and then they're like, where's Kyle? Where are Kyle and Amanda? Well, guess what? Kyle and Amanda have just emerged from the subway tunnel, and they come upstairs, and Kyle's like, well, not the greatest sign that the therapist wanted to meet us again tomorrow, and also said, seriously, you guys get better divorce, otherwise I'm hanging up my therapist coat and going into an artist commune. Not a good sign, Amanda.
It's funny, the therapist who just told them, oh my God, you guys hate each other. Yeah, you should probably come in tomorrow and the next day. You know, you just want to sleep here. Why don't you guys just sleep here? Okay, you should, don't leave.
How about this?
Don't leave therapy.
I'm just going to press play on this video, and I'm going to walk out, and by the time it's done, I will have moved to a different city. I'm not doing this anymore.
Guys, I've become a pottery person. Quit therapy.
I'm in Santa Fe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a poncho. Bye. Did you know Shirley MacLaine is actually a very nice lady? Anyway, I'm done being a therapist. Get out.
Who's that?
What?
Who's that? Shirley MacLaine? She hot?
She lives in Santa Fe. It's very spiritual. So Amanda's like, yeah, we're moving backwards. Her words. And we're supposed to be taking actions to move things in the right direction. But you go DJ at a gig until 2, and then you go out after, and then you're home at 4 o'clock in the morning the day we have therapy. Ah! She's like, had it with him. She's like, I'm trying to make this work. I'm trying to make it work so we don't call it quits, but you're not giving me any help. Listen, if the only way to make this work is for Kyle to not DJ and go out all night, it's not going to work. So either you change or Kyle changes. Another one if he wants to. And it. Fuck.
I mean, so are the people of Nyack just supposed to like not dance? You know, I gotta help the people. Oh, I'm
what
sorry.
Is this foot tight?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess the people of Tappan don't deserve any sort of music in their lives. Okay, I'll just stay in with you. Good luck, everyone. Sorry I had to drive over the Como Bridge.
Listen, don't leave Hoboken hopeless, okay? And Amanda's like, I'm trying to make it work. I'm like sweating. I have shit to do, Kyle. He goes, well, you're wearing a raincoat in the summer. She's like, it's not a raincoat.
Oh, well, it looks like a raincoat to me.
It's a tricky coat.
It was just like a trench dress kind of thing. She goes, I don't know what you want. Well, I want some sort of apparel that makes some sort of sense. Like, if you want to wear a raincoat, but don't wear something that looks like a raincoat, but it's not a raincoat. Like, what's even the point of that? That's like booking a gig in Union, New Jersey, and then having to stay home. I mean, God, the name of Union's in it. It's supposed to strengthen our union. Why don't you get Amanda? We're both struggling in our own ways, and I just want to be happy, and I want to be with you. I want you to be with me.
Well, I mean, I'm in therapy with you. I'm making an effort. I'm not going backwards. It's like, God, can we just go? She says, I'm not going to go meet you guys out. I'm exhausted, and I'm not going to put on a face for our friends. I'm going home. Consider this Friendsgiving and every other day for the past 10 years. Fuck off.
Consider this Friendsgetting. You and not me. Ha! Bye.
So then he's like, okay. So now we go back to the garret, and now it says Whitney gets to know the New York girls as they talk. Whitney, which one was Whitney? Was Whitney the Minnesota girl?
She's the new model from Minnesota.
Okay. And so everyone's like talking, and Lindsay is talking to Kenny, and she's like, so how long have you and Whitney been dating? He's like, probably about a year, but we took it slow for a while, because why would you ever go fast when you've got like a gorgeous supermodel who wants nothing but to just be around you? God. Red flag.
Yeah, you know, we started dating a year ago, but it took me about 11 months to realize nobody else wanted to fuck me. So I said, sure, come on. We want to be on a TV show.
So Gavin's like, well, Kenny was going around being a playboy with me. And so Kenny's like, okay, don't do that to me on TV. All right. I'm not a playboy. I'm not a fuckboy. I'm not going to fall into that trap. So let me pull out this card. Let me be very clear. My mother was passing, so I wasn't the best version of myself. I am now insulated from fuckboy rumors. Thank you very much. VC.
I no longer have a sick mother, so I'm not as horny. Duh.
So Ryan, who's Lindsay's friend, is there, and he's like, what stage of grief is the fuckboy stage? And then Kenny is like, honestly, she's a doll. And we're seeing, look, she's a doll with a zest for life. And we're just going to see where it goes.
Oh, God. Him calling her a doll when I feel like that's literally how he's going to be treating her. And that you can just read it all over this guy. You can just tell in his attitude towards her that he's looking at her like as a doll, a fuck doll.
He's going to be condescending to her and then get her gifts when he feels bad.
Yeah. And when she has a problem, he's going to be like, what? You used to be so happy and joyful. What is this? It's like you hid this part of yourself from me. I just see it coming. So Lindsay's like, she moved across the country before a ring as a girl. That's a lot. Lindsay, you had a baby with a man you knew for 5 minutes. Come on.
I know. I
mean, you're not necessarily wrong, but you are also Lindsay. So, like,
yeah, exactly. We sat through a season of Strawby. Okay. So Kenny goes, whoa, Lindsay, I'm getting I hate men vibes, which, by the way, like, literally, there's no vibe whatsoever that Lindsay is giving of that. I think Lindsay loves men, to be honest. And for Kenny to be like, the moment that there's any sort of like pushback, like, oh, man hater. I'm like, you, sir, you and your VC ways, you're on my radar right now.
Yeah. But by the way, you are giving me those vibes, Kenny. That's like literally the vibes I'm getting right now. I hate
man hater.
Just yes, I'm getting those as I watch Kenny. I'm like, I think I might hate men. Of course, this is right after Summer House, I just watched The Valley. So I've had a whole day of these fucking men. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay's like, I'm just allergic to annoying men. Which I like. She's not gonna take his shit for 2 seconds. So I like it. It's like they brought somebody on for Lindsay to beat up.
Yep. And he's like, you don't have to be engaged to move in together. Like, newsflash.
I'm just saying, it's a big commitment when you're moving across the country for someone.
And she's basically saying for someone who probably is not going to take this seriously. I think that's what she's saying.
Yeah. And, well, it sounded to me like she's saying, be nice to her because that's a huge move. Like, take this seriously and be good to her. And Whitney's like, well, this is like a very expansive chapter for us. So it's nice to do it slow and not all at once. And Kenny's like, yeah, we know what we're doing. We're not rushing it. So Lindsay says, yeah, I'm just trying to get to know Kenny. So like, if you're feeling pressed by me when I'm asking like very generic questions, that sounds like a you problem.
So Gavin's like, are you feeling attacked right now? He's like, well, I mean, there's a panel of people in front of us. And everyone just like laughs. And so then Kyle arrives and he's like, Amanda's not going to be here, by the way. And Lindsay's like, okay, so let's like talk. Like, Amanda told me after the house, like she stayed in a hotel for 2 days. Like, how does that make you feel? Do you know what type of hotel was it? Was it good? Was it a good hotel? And he's like, well, despite our ups and downs, we've never not left the Hamptons together. I'm getting more and more confused by our couple's therapy.
Well, therapy is confusing because you're unpacking years of issues that have gone unaddressed, but you could also just watch the show that you've been on to know exactly that your relationship is doomed.
Yeah, you're fine. And so Danielle comes in and Trixie sings,
I bet you miss me, miss me. I bet you miss me, don't ya?
The Danielle anthem that America sings whenever she shows up. There she is. Who's that?
It's
who's
Danielle.
That girl?
And Lindsay's like,
oh my God, your boss.
I gotta pee. So she leaves. And then Yvonne's like, oh my God, are you gonna talk to Danielle? She's like, no, I'm sick of giving passes. I don't need negative competitive energy in my life unless it's Gemma.
So she's like, every year it's like fucking something. And let me just like pull up all the ways that Danielle has annoyed me.
And so she pulls out a phone and the producer's like, wait, you have a list on your phone? She's like,
yeah, I have it in my phone.
I'm like, she's crazy. Meanwhile, I did stay up till 1 a.m. writing down a list of things that Danny Zuko has done for the past 2 years on the Valley, but whatever. So then Lindsay is
wait till I get there.
I know. I am not using my time properly. Lindsay's like,
season 4, Carl and I tried to date, and then 1 week later, she's giving me a hand job in the back of an Uber. And then, season 7, do I just really need to talk about the engagement? I mean, just flashback already.
And then you see Danielle's crazy reaction to the engagement.
So back to the bar, Danielle's like, she has a new home and I have a new man and all this stuff that's like a big deal. Like, I'm not sharing it with my once best friend. That's crazy, Carl. He's like, yeah, right. Okay, right. So Lindsay's like, I don't even know that guy's name. Like, Owen, on, off, like, what's his name? Owen, in,
Tap. Hi, it's Danielle, founder of Saying Hello. I just want to say hi. And, I was wondering if maybe you might be open to getting lunch or coffee or getting the D. Sorry, reflex. But next week or something, like whenever you're free, whenever or not free, or whenever you would maybe want to. Should I just go through Gemma? Is she your calendar? I don't know. What should I do?
Can I think about it? Because I'm a little bit busy these days.
It's like, dun, dun, dun. Danielle's like, like with a newborn?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I get it. Okay, bye. Danielle just runs the hell out of there.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really get the issue.
So many things.
And then she goes through like her list of, you know, issues, grievances. And so Kyle's like, well, first of all, hand jobs suck. So just in general, I'm just saying, like, that really sucks. By the way, to be fair, Danielle was with Carl before Carl was with Lindsay. So there may have been enough time passed that doesn't matter.
Well, she wasn't with him. She hooked up with him, right?
I think they dated.
Oh, really?
I think they full on dated. I don't know. It's not that.
They just hooked up or something. And then Lindsay like dated Carl, but Lindsay didn't care about any of that when that was happening. Like she didn't. Yeah, she's adding this to her list now. Like this is what a shitty person Danielle was, but she didn't care about that then because they were all running around together all the time and were much more casual about sex and hooking up and stuff at that time anyway. So at least that's how I remember. I remember her not really caring.
I remember this dating thing wasn't even. It was like basically he fingered her, and then they're like,
maybe we should have a relationship now that you fingered me,
and then like. It lasted like one night on like a rooftop and they had that weird fight and then it dissolved.
Yeah, that's how I remember it too. But yeah, Lindsay's pissed. So she's going to make a list. And if you're on it, she's going to put everything you've ever done onto that onto that list. So Kyle's like, yeah, God, hand jobs suck, but I would pay a lot of money for a hand job. And I have to agree. I'm not really a big hand job person. So then I know that everybody was wondering. So there you go, everybody. Guess what not to get me for Christmas? Hand job. Thank you. So we go to Tribeca now, and Yvonne and Lindsay are going to Georgina's dermatology office to get her for girls' night. Yeah. And Lindsay's like, you know, I have clothes. Just come in your scrubs. And she's like, are you kidding? I have, like, everything in here. I have, like, a human abode. Look at this. I have dresses, condoms, lollipops. Like, what else do you need, you guys?
It's so refreshing to have mom friends. Like, Georgina just gets it. She has, like, a full dermatology practice to Tribeca. I love my mom friends. Oh, sorry, Yvonne. Yvonne's like, thanks a lot. Thanks for rubbing that into me that, hey, we don't have a child yet.
So Georgina says, a lot of the time, I'm like, look how cool I am living in Tribeca, derm, raising kids, restraining order against the cast of Les Mis. Like, look at me, I'm doing it all. And then, like, there are other times where I'm like, my daughter Eloise, of course my daughter's named Eloise, by the way, of course. My name's Georgina. How do I not have a daughter named Eloise? She looks me dead in the eye and says, she's like, just takes a bite of dog food. So yeah, you know what I did? I just looked at that nutrition, the nutritional facts, and said, you go, girl. Have that dog treat. Go fucking nuts.
That's pure protein. So Georgina does, in fact, have a cute little dress in a cabinet that she can pull out to go out, which I loved. And Lindsay's like, oh, my God, Mill City. So now we get girl pods. What girls going out? What girls who are going out? And so Lindsay, Georgina, and Yvonne sit in a corner and chat. And Amanda's on her way. And Lindsay's like, things with her and Kyle are not good. Like, they're just living very separate lives. And he was telling me that she hasn't paid rent in 3 years.
And Yvonne's like, and he didn't care? No, but then he tallied it all up and charged her last week. I shit you not.
And we see a flashback. Yeah, we see a flashback of Amanda. By the way, if your marriage is crumbling and trying to save it, maybe don't invoice your wife for back rent. I don't know. But Amanda is, she basically says, like, she paid like $117,000 to Kyle. So now Amanda shows up to this rooftop bar and Lindsay's like,
I'm not going to lie. I was catching them up on you. We were talking about you. Yeah. And she's like, okay. Well, rule one, though, of the night, no talking shit about me or anything bad. I want to hear about your problems. I need the gossip. I need the tea. I need the drama.
I don't want to talk about me. Okay. So my plans with Nick. Oh, God. I didn't mean Yvonne. Can anybody else go?
Phil's like, yeah, well, Nick and I, like, he's decided he's not ready to be a dad.
Oh, my God, is he not ready or just nervous? He's a great dog dad.
Well, I mean, you know how that works, don't you?
Nick and I had a great relationship, but when we first got married, like, hit a few bumps in the road. And I was under the impression that we wanted to start trying for a family, but he would consistently push off the conversation. So I was so annoyed with him that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to San Diego and just not tell him. So I hopped on a plane, got a week-long pass for the San Diego Zoo, saw some pandas, fed a giraffe. And guess what? He didn't even notice. And like, I'm like, hello, I'm not there. I had to like show him a few true crime docs afterwards because I'm like, if something happened to me, he'd be the first person under investigation. Like, this is wild.
It's crazy that the Valley is also in San Diego celebrating terrible marriages. It's like San Diego's really not winning in the terrible marriage race.
It's not.
It's not a great moment for San Diego. So Amanda's like, it's always the man that's a problem. I mean, just start turkey basting. Just put a sperm in a turkey baster. So like Katie was telling me about Danielle, guys. Okay, gather around. I've got really good gossip. So apparently Danielle just moved in with this guy that's still married. They're like, dun, dun, dun. And we see a Bravo and Cocktails headline. Summer House Homewrecker. Lindsay's former BFF having an affair. Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
She was talking about having kids with him in the fall. And they're like, what? You're blowing my mind right now? You need to stop?
And they're like, it's so hypocritical. Who does that? So, I mean, there is like the one element to this is like it is crazy that Amanda is the one clocking this when she's, you know, about to be, she is married and she's going to be, you know, in a relationship with Wes or if she isn't already. But I guess the part of it is that like Amanda, I mean, Danielle was had lots of opinions about things moving too fast or timelines, et cetera, with Lindsay. And then here she is.
Yeah.
Jacking up with a married guy.
Yep. So then we go to Chelsea Living Room. I guess that's the name of a restaurant. And Amanda and Kyle go for a wedding anniversary scene. This is going to end well. You already know this is going to be great. So Kyle's like, yeah, it's been a year since we've been on an actual date, but there's no way we're not doing something on our anniversary. I'm feeling optimistic because, you know, we made a little progress from just a few weeks ago. Really? You were just told by the therapist this. You hate each other and you need to come to therapy every day.
Let me tell you something. Every time he says we made progress, it reminds me of like when I'm like installing an app on like my phone or on my computer and I get a progress bar and then it just like stalls out midway through and I keep on looking at it and I start convincing myself that it's actually moved forward a few millimeters. I'm like, it's moving. It's not stuck. It's going. Everything's fine. We made some progress here. It's going to install. It's like, no, there's a glitch in the system and you're just hanging. It's over. You have to reboot.
It's over. You got to reboot.
Uninstall.
You got to reboot, baby. Time to upgrade the phone. So Amanda's like, yeah, we're celebrating the fact that anyone said we wouldn't make it to 3 years without getting divorced was wrong. We made it to 4.
Well, I know therapy has been no walk in the park, even though we actually did kind of walk in the park afterwards and sat down on a bench. But, you know, whatever. I appreciate you doing it with me. And I just want you to feel like we're moving forward in therapy.
Yeah, well, you feel like we are because our therapist literally burned down her office building. She said, I can't do it anymore. I'm broken. Please let me never see these people again. I won't even turn on the TV. So I don't know if we're doing so well with therapy.
I don't remember if I gave them 3 years or 5. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, did I give them 3 years? I'm like, do you ever feel like that? Like, is the TV talking back to me personally? So some of these shows.
One of our great listeners will probably find the prediction. Just, you know, use some sort of AI bot to look up the transcripts.
Yeah, if anyone comes across that episode while you're doing a re-listen, let me know. Because I know people are right now because of the scandal. So Kyle's like, yeah, you know, therapy hasn't been a walk in the park, but we're doing great. And she's like, are we though? Because like I felt lower than I've felt in a really long time. Like, how can I be married to somebody who doesn't even know what a raincoat dress looks like?
Well, it hasn't been easy.
Well, I know, but like,
no, seriously, because it's like normally I think of raincoats as just being yellow and shiny, and then so it's like, why is it even? Like, I don't know. It's like its fashion's like really difficult. Like, maybe
does a raincoat even think it's a raincoat or does it think it's a dress? Oh, the questions that keep me up at night.
Do they have umbrella dresses?
Kyle, it's just not going the way I really wanted to. I'm going to move out.
Wow. Great time to announce it on the anniversary.
Yeah.
At least I have one final hurrah.
Jesus. The man just charged you for back rent. You think he's not going to make you pay this dinner bill? You could have done this for free. Do whatever slices. You know what I mean? Jeez. So she's like, and I don't mean permanent. Like, this is like a month maybe, like to make things better between us. Because I want to stay together and spend time together like this. It's just hard to have West over if you're in the apartment.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you go to my place, I go to your place, and then we can have date nights and like spend time together and like maybe not spend time together. He's like, well,
it's a lot to swallow, but I'm trying to be open and understanding. And can you just promise me this? If I agree to this,
she's like, no, it's not your blessing. It's not your blessing, Kyle. It's not a matter of agreement. Yeah, it's my decision.
No, and I did love that she said that. It's like, it's not your choice, but it is. It's her choice and it's her indisputable choice to move out, he would have to agree to this whole, like, we now date each other. If he's like, I don't know, if you move out, it's done. Right. Like, so he does have something to agree to here.
Yeah. I think he's just like, okay, it's all you. It's just like, whatever. He's like, well, I'm not sold on the solution. You know, it feels extreme. I've never heard of a couple like separating, you know, to make things better, but maybe is what we need. I don't know.
Hello. It's like all of like the cast of Real Housewives of New Jersey. It was like Jackie and her Jackie's parents, Dolores's parents. I feel like that's like the constant thing that everyone has different houses.
That's the Jersey way. So then some older the guys
squad shows up. The khakis and blue button and downs and white t-shirts.
Yeah.
Come over and saying, hey guys, it's our anniversary. And they're like, wow, happy anniversary. And she's like, yeah, it's going great. God, you're such an asshole. Why are you even doing this, Amanda? Just fucking send him an email. Like, don't take the guy out on his anniversary, dump him, and then kind of mock him with other dudes. Like,
it's the sarcasm that sort of kills me. She does. Like, that does kill me a little bit. So anyway, it's good to see that In the City is, looks like we've got all the pieces in play for a nice toxic season. We'll see how it unfolds. And next week we are going to finally get into the Summer House reunion and the with more in the city. So Tuesday nights are going to be going off. But don't worry, don't worry. If all this toxicity is too much for you, the good news is the Valley is up next. So, you know,
God help us.
It's God talk help about us sunshine and rainbows.
That yeah, show is close to irredeemable at this point, but we'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
I think it's better now. I think it's great. But anyway. Oh,
fuck. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tam LaPlaine.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.